One of the country's most perplexing cold cases has returned to the public eye after police offered a $100,000 reward for information about the disappearance in 1992 of toddler Amberly Cruikshank. Nikki Cruikshank has maintained for nearly 29 years that somebody knows what happened to her daughter, who went missing in Kingston on the shore of Lake Waikatepu. She is pleading for that person to come forward.
Have a heart. Grow some balls. Come forward. Put an end to this nightmare. Imagine if it was your daughter and you were living this and someone had done this to you. 29 years is enough for anyone to suffer this long and be tormented by not knowing. Please, let's bring it to closure. That's all we want. I just want my baby girl back.
For some who were involved in the case, the mystery has remained. Former Southland Times police reporter Gail Goodger covered Amberly's disappearance extensively and joins us. Good morning, Gail.
Hi, Philippa.
What did you think when you heard about this reward 29 years after Amberly went missing?
I was stoked because, honestly, I think anyone that was there, the way you remember Amberly is just a little toddler with white curly hair and pink ready cheeks, and she's kind of frozen in time. And you just think, gosh, you know, what happened to her? Because it doesn't really happen like that often, that you have no resolution. And every time I go through Kingston or I'm around that area, I sort of think, gosh, I wonder whatever did happen to her, because, you know, it's such an odd case. And like, since then, I had one kid then, now I've got four grandchildren, and Nikki's just got this great big gaping hole in her life, really.
Why do you think now? I mean, why was a reward not offered earlier?
I can only speak anecdotally about that, but I do know that when I've talked to police about rewards before, that they say after time passes, people's bonds to each other can break down a bit, and they can sort of forge cracks through relationships, and it might be an attractive time for someone to take that reward and get immunity.
Whenever a child goes missing, you know, everybody does their utmost to do something about it. But at the time, was it generally regarded that it must have been a drowning not too far away from the lake, or was there always a sense that somebody had done something?
Well, weirdly, you should say that, because when I knew I was going to be talking to you, I had to get into the attic in the garage and find my old scrapbooks, which are like sort of A3 scrapbooks with stories pasted in them or sellotaped in them. And it was quite sort of evocative, because when I got them out, luckily they're in a box marked scrapbooks, or I'd still be looking, but anyway. And it was sort of tea-coloured pages with the sellotape had stopped sticking and the stories were falling out, and I was quite surprised to find that I wasn't there at the start of the story. I came in 8 months later, because initially it was a missing child, and so that was the regional reporter's responsibility. And then 8 months later it was on Crime Watch, and there was a couple came forward saying, we've seen some toddler's clothing that looked like Amberly's, and they were in the men's toilets near the district courthouse in Queenstown, and we took them into the police. None of the police could remember them being there, and they didn't think they were relevant to anything, so we threw them out. And so they were in the tip, and the police decided it wasn't actually feasible to search the tip after 8 months. But they did reopen the case, and it became a murder case.
Did you have a sense at the time, we don't have much time left, but that it wasn't a good police investigation, that in fact the police let the family down at the time?
No, I didn't, actually. And I think part of the reason that they opened it again was because she hadn't turned up. Do you know, like, her body hadn't turned up. But I know people in the area, they said they were still looking when they, like if their golf ball went into the trees, if they're out walking. But there was some weird, wild speculation, like someone thought dogs had taken her, and some people, they knew about, Nikki had a pretty fierce drug habit at the time, and they thought these outsiders had brought these outsiders' problems to the community. And the police were still looking, even after they reopened it, for this Holden Turana or Ford Cortina red car that had been seen on the Devil's Staircase at Tarras and in the Lindis Pass. And they did become convinced that something bad had happened, but some people weren't talking to them either. They actually said that publicly. Look, there are some people who in the town who live there and some who are visitors who will not talk to us and won't give us access to people. So I think what's happening is they're hoping that those bonds would have broken down. That's pure speculation, but that's what usually they're aiming for.
Well, I'm sure everyone will be hoping that some information will come out because of the offer of this reward. Thank you so much for your time this morning. That was Gail Goodger, a former Southland Times police reporter.